Welcome this Monday, June the 24th, 2013, to the Biblical Worldview Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joseph Oster. If you've got questions or comments or need to be saved, you can email us at biblicalworldview@rocketmail.com. You can also check us out on the web, www.bibleworldview.blogspot.com. You can message me on Twitter, at Joseph Oster. You can get our podcast on iTunes, audioboo.fm, Spreaker.com, and you can get them on my personal Facebook page. And I certainly hope you're enjoying the show. Thank you for listening today. Well, God bless you today, and thank you for being with us. It is a beautiful day here on this Monday, kind of overcast, or I'd say partly cloudy in and a touch of showers here and there, but God's been good. We do need some rain, and so we just want to thank you for being with us. And this past weekend, we had a wonderful time. My wife and I had an opportunity to go over to West Monroe, Louisiana, and visit some kin folks there. I got an uncle who refinishes furniture, and he's going to redo our kitchen table. So, yay. And we're going to get us going to seem like a new table anyway, but got a chance to do that and come back. And, of course, we started Bible school this week and had over 70 kids last night. I'm not sure about the count for today. We've yet to see. But anyway, just wanted to touch with you today and deal with divisions and unity and that topic of conversation today. Preached yesterday morning on divisions and on unity within the church and the body, and how we can't be fulfilling the will of God if there's divisions. I mean, I'm just telling you, 1 Corinthians 11. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 is the text yesterday, dealt with divisions. And folks, Christ is not divided. And I know there are many out there who have become fed up with church because those who fight within. Excuse me. And when we do fight within, that's the reason a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with the church. I mean, listen, folks are fighting and fussing outside of the church. We don't need to go to church to be able to do it. And if the church is going to be just like the world is, people find no relevance in that, and they don't want anything to do with it. And I agree with that. And there have been plenty of people who have grown tired and are fed up with church, and who no longer go to church because of the fussing and the fighting and the arguing. I don't think there are many churches that are exempt from fussing and fighting because we're all imperfect people. We have to deal with imperfect people. But that's no excuse for there to be divisions, that's no excuse for there to be problems. And so we need to realize that and to be able to address that. And this week I'm going to be taking the opportunity to discuss division in the church. I'm going to be taking the opportunity to discuss some of the causes of division, the causes of division. I'm going to be dealing with some of the solutions to division. I'm going to be dealing with ways pastors can handle division, biblical ways to handle disunity. We're going to be dealing with overcoming division. So we're going to be looking at a lot of things and a lot of ways. I know that Friday we're going to have a guest with us. Brother Andy Bowles is going to be with us this Friday. He is one of my good friends. I graduated college with him, or went to college with him at William Carey. And he is going to be coming in and weighing in on divisions in the church. And boy, he's had his share of them in churches throughout the years. And so he's going to be joining us. And I'm probably going to even try to see if I can't get my father, who's also a pastor, to be a part of it. But today I want to deal with some of the causes of division. And we're going to be reading, actually our text today is going to be out of the book of 1 Corinthians. And that's important. 1 Corinthians is a great book written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. And I'm going to tell you, the church of Corinth was messed up. verses 1 through 3 basically says this: I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you weren't able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you're yet carnal. That word carnal means fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, and yet, well, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by who you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, nor he that waters, but God gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Boy, I tell you, the growth of any congregation depends upon the spirit of the members. You know that, and I know that. In the Old Testament, for example, we read the story of Nehemiah and the people in their effort to rebuild the walls around the city of Jerusalem. It says in Nehemiah 4:6, hey, so we built the wall, and the walls was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. That means they had a common purpose. And listen, when people have a common purpose and a common goal, a great deal can be accomplished, provided there's nothing there to help derail those efforts. It was the prophet Amos. He gave this thought-provoking question. He says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And a great deal can indeed be accomplished, provided that people, a spirit of unity prevails within a congregation. Psalm chapter 133, verse 1, the psalmist said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And listen, be sober, be vigilant, 1 Peter 5:8, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, there are a lot of blessed congregations with a wonderful spirit of unity and cooperation. Be warned, it is the target of Satan. It is. And so let's kind of dive into the scripture here and dissect these things. We've dealt with immaturity before, and that's one of the main causes, and that is the first cause is immaturity. It says, I, brethren, couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Even as to babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. I tell you, listen, when children are born, they live on the milk of their mothers. All right. Now, we don't give them any more because at that stage of development, they can't handle it. They would choke. And listen, when a person decides to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and they begin their life anew, having been born again, Jesus, of course, used this reference in John 3 about being born again. And so having been baptized and that symbolic thing of baptism after salvation, there's this newness of life, Romans 6, chapter 4. And now we don't have to be baptized to have that newness of life, but that's one of the first acts of obedience of being saved, is to be baptized. He says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so being this new creature and been born again, Peter admonishes, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2:2. All right, so generally in looking at these verses, we note that a newborn Christian should seek out the milk of the Word of God. But however, listen, what we fail to emphasize in the latter portion of this verse is that you may grow. And unfortunately, there are a lot of Christians who have received the milk of the Word, but they haven't grown out of it. They haven't grown sufficiently to be able to receive the meat of the Word. And remember, we've clarified that meat is not just, listen, milk is not just hearing. Milk is hearing the simple things of God and doing them. Meat is hearing the deeper things of God and doing them. And we have this in our culture today throughout this land. We have this in the church that I pastor, the church that Brother Andy Bowles pastors, the church that my father pastors. We have what Jason Moore in his writings, he calls them spiritual dwarfism. I mean, that's what it is. We have a bunch of people who are stunted in their growth spiritually and have no desire whatsoever to grow up. And you know what that leads to? It leads to division in the church. Paul makes us aware that the situation at Corinth was such that they weren't ready for strong food. And to help us understand the problem better, at Corinth, we also learned they had a problem with division in the congregation. That had been reported, listen, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 11, that there had been reported to Paul by the house of Chloe, we read there. And if you actually want to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11, you'll kind of get this idea there. He says, it's been declared to me of you by my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And that's when he started talking about, I'm of Paul and I'm of Apollos. And listen, Paul tells us that the situation at Corinth was such that they weren't ready for strong food. And to help us understand the problem better, at Corinth, we learned they again had this problem of division, and the church had strife and discord because of favoritism of the various preachers, which were, you know, I guess we can refer to it as preacheritis, you know, and some of the church people preferred to follow Apollos and others Cephas and or Peter and some Paul and others the Lord. And what we're made aware of here is that the part of the reason for this division was childishness. These people had not grown up. And if they had known that it was wrong to be a disciple of anyone but Christ, you know, I mean, Paul was so frustrated with them. He in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14, 15, he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. And churches suffer when brothers don't grow up. I mean, they had this division, and we have this division. We have a lot of people who are not willing to grow up. What's even more sad is we have a lot of people who are not just not willing to grow up. We have a lot of leadership and a lot of people who aren't willing to tell them that they won't grow up. I'm faced with that in my congregation on a consistent basis about people who need to be told they need to grow up. They need to put away childish things. I mean, listen, churches suffer. They cannot do great things for God. They cannot be great for God. They cannot have the hand of God upon them and the power of God resting on them when we have people who would divide and who sow discord among the brethren. I mean, I know people in churches that look for things to bicker about. They find things to condemn and criticize. And folks, childishness can rear its head, and it's a detriment to any effort to seek and save the lost. So immaturity is the number one thing. Number two is carnality. Carnality. 1 Corinthians, our text today, verse 3 through 4 says, for you are yet carnal. That word means fleshly. Whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? One says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos. Aren't you carnal? And that word, again, is fleshly, which appeals to the human appetite and our desires. And note here some of the things that are involved with carnality. Envy. Boy, I know people in even in our church body, envious. Envious of other people's positions. Envious of other people's power. Envious of other people's titles. Strife. Division. I mean, we could keep, I mean, people pushing their own agenda, their own will. And these are all things that are perpetuated by personal desires, personal ambitions. And this actually is an outgrowth of immaturity. They're still wanting to fulfill their own lust and desires instead of yielding their lives to Christ. Listen, I want to tell you, I don't know where I heard this. I heard it from somewhere, but it's not immorality in the church that's destroying the church. It's immaturity. Had people grown up, had people put away childish things, they wouldn't be steeped in immorality. Immorality, many times, is the outworking of immaturity. Carnality is the outworking of immaturity. You see, with carnality, self is still at the forefront, and Christ is in the background. And see, we already know that Christ has to come first in everything and must be foremost in our lives above everything and everything that exists. And when we become Christians, Paul tells us we should leave that old man of sin behind. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, "For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." I want to tell you, carnality in the church is an indication that some people have not been truly converted to Christ. They hadn't put to death that old man, that crucified that old man of sin. The desires of the flesh and the will of God don't go hand in hand. And the Bible, listen, reiterates this time and time again and again. James chapter 4, verse 4, "Friendship with the world is enmity with God. You cannot be a lover of the world and a lover of God." And listen, we have people in churches that it may be that we don't like the way that something is done, or we think we could do it better. But listen, unless there's a definite problem, we should be supportive of the eldership. Unless they're violating God's word, we should be supportive of the leadership. Respect the task before them. And listen, to fight against them, I want to give you something. Listen, to fight against them and to politic against them, folks, they better look out. Especially when you come and deal with the man of God. And I'm not just meaning that. I know that sounds self-serving many times because I am a pastor, but I want to tell you something. I give you the story, and again, we'll go as far as we can today in the show. We're only limited by about a 30-minute time period, and so we'll go as far as we can. But remember, this week is all going to be about division, and we're going to just grow from it, and I praise the Lord for that. But I want to share a story about my father. My father is the pastor of a church in Yazoo City, Mississippi. Been there for some 10 years. It's a small congregation. And when he first got there, he had a big problem with some of the deacon body, and just deacons who were not willing to stand, deacons that I say have the backbone of a jellyfish. Okay, and if you don't know jellyfish, yeah, you get the point. Anyway, not going to stand on anything, not going to confront people about wrongdoings, not gonna you know, stand up against people doing their own thing in the church, or in sin in the church, or being disrespectful, or you know, whatever it is that we, the problems that is, not just not going to stand. And of course, my father's is kind of a lot. I can't say he's a lot like me. I'm a lot like him, and my father has the backbone of a fence rail. I mean, he's just not going to budge, and that's, hey, for some people like me and him, that's our downfall sometimes. Not going to budge. We're not going to move. And that's a good thing when it comes to the Word of God. But sometimes in church, it can bite you. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. But there was an issue that was brought up in their congregation, and I think it was about women leadership in the church, women teaching Sunday school, women teaching other men, the men not stepping up, not doing what they're supposed to do, on and on and on. I think even women getting up behind the pulpit and I not really preaching, but kind of teaching, doing their thing. And my dad said something about it. Well, there was a particular deacon. His wife was one of the ones that taught Sunday school and everything else. And he just bucked my father and fought against him the whole time. Anyway, my dad, one deacon's meeting, took him in, opened the Word of God, showed what the Word of God had to say, and the man stood up and said, "Preacher, we know it's in there. We just not going to do anything about it." I want to tell you something. They buried that man 6 months later. Now, I know there's a whole bunch of people that would say, no, God didn't take him. God didn't do that. God didn't. Well, my friends, ever since he said that, his health started to deteriorate. Folks, let me tell you something. I believe this with all my heart. You can't spit in the face of God and get away with it. You can't spit in the face of the man of God who's truly trying to serve God and get away with it. And I'm telling you to fight against the man, to fight against the leadership, to fight against eldership who's seeking God, that you're fighting against God. You know why? Because the pastor is the under shepherd, the one that's under Christ. And I don't mean in a chain of order of command under Christ. I think you know what I mean. Under Christ. We're the under shepherd. We're leading the people. We're trusting Christ, trying to find the answers. And folks, there's people filled with immaturity and immorality and carnality that are seeking their own way and their own agenda, and they're trying to change things and get things done, and they think the way they think they should be done. It's carnality, and it'll only harm the church, and ultimately it'll harm them. Another thing that is a hindrance, immaturity, carnality, you know, one of the causes of division is disloyalty. 1 Corinthians 3:3-4, our text, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? He says that in verses 3-4 about carnality, disloyalty. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by who you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Listen, the word minister is a term that refers to an attendant or a servant. Despite our efforts to elevate ourselves, servants are not to be exalted to a higher rank. Listen, when man does this, they're insulting the master. And we're perpetuating division in the church. And listen, it probably would do us good to realize that we don't have the great value that we think we possess. I mean, it's this overinflated opinion that can lead a person to encourage followers and be disloyal to Christ. And I see that. I see that in churches. Our interest is not in creating allegiance to men, but to God. Galatians 1:10 says, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. This is not to suggest that we can't have respect and admiration for those in church that we feel are more mature in their faith. Listen, I've got utmost respect for a number of gospel preachers, but I don't have allegiance to them. Did you hear that? I'm not interested in jumping on the bandwagon in any crusade that they may, you know, have to bring something revolutionary to the brotherhood. Listen, a Christian's first and foremost interest is in exalting and worshiping and serving the living God. And I believe we begin to put too much stock in man. And we become men pleasers. We're disloyal. Disloyalty. We're disloyal to God. Another area is ingratitude. 1 Corinthians 3:7. So then neither is he that plants anything, nor he that waters, but God gives the increase. Listen, too often we seem to want to credit ourselves for anything that's accomplished. I was able to get brother so-and-so saved, or it was my words, or it was my doings that led him to Christ. And hey, Paul knocks the pedestal out from under anyone who has that idea of exalting themselves. And folks, this leads to division. The person who plants is the one who initially plants the seed. In the parable of the sower, Jesus reveals the seed is the word of God in Luke chapter 8. And when that seed is planted in a good and honest heart, he said it would bear fruit. And it's through the preaching of the word that souls are saved to be born again. Romans 10:17 says, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the person who plants that word in someone's heart, Paul said, is not anything. That's not anything of importance. The person who waters is a reference to those who continue to teach the truth and help to bring more scriptural concepts to light. But again, even the person that waters helps that seed to grow is not anything. The credit for the increase is not with any individual. It's with who? It's with God. And I believe failing to honor and give God the credit that he is due is harboring that spirit of ingratitude. And there's no humility in that. And God is not seen as the giver, as James chapter 1 says, of every good and perfect gift. What else is another cause of division? Well, we only got time to look at probably another, maybe one more here, and that's irreverence. 1 Corinthians 3:9, our text says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." God's fellow workers are discouraged. God's field is rendered unfruitful. God's building is laid waste. When men are caught up in strife, they're not thinking of the harm they're doing to the Lord's work. They're not thinking of the damage that's being done to cheapen the cause of Christ. Selfishness and pride advances divisiveness, and it leads to ungodliness. And gossip and slander and maliciousness become tools of the devil to propagate their evil. I would love to be able to say that we couldn't find that among Christians, but I'm finding that I see pride and arrogance and selfishness, and it happens to the best of people. It's ironic that divisions occur, but those who promote them think they're still pleasing to God. I want to share one of these last things with you in some closing remarks. One of the seven things in Scripture that tells us is that God hates is in Proverbs chapter 6. And the very last one of the seven things that God hates is he that sows discord among the brethren. He that sows discord among, I pause there because that's tough. There's times when people begin to leave the truth and believe that they're right. I want to tell you, no matter how good things are within any congregation, somebody or someone's in the wings looking for a way to throw a monkey wrench into the works. And that person many times is Satan. And in our lives as Christians, we've got to strive to do a few things. We have to work for harmony. Folks, it's not something that comes natural. You have to work for harmony. You have to work for unity. You have to work for there not to be divisions. Well, listen, folks, we need to seek maturity instead of immaturity. We need to seek godliness instead of carnality, and loyalty instead of disloyalty, gratitude instead of ingratitude, and reverence instead of irreverence. I mean, we can either be the catalyst that helps unite a church, or we can be the catalyst that can divide a church. And so the question that remains for us is our heart right with God? Where are we? I mean, these are some of the, do any of these things manifest themselves in our lives? No, they do in my life at times, and I have to cast them down. I have to grow up. I have to put, like Paul said, I have to put childish things away. Father, help us to be people who are mature, who really seek to know you and want to know you. Guide us and use us, and help us be the people that are seeking unity and harmony within the brothers and sisters of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Guide us and use us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. I hope you'll join us this week as we continue to focus on division and unity and see where the Lord takes us on that. God bless you today. I hope you've enjoyed it. And until the next time, you go serve your King.